Have you ever found yourself in a place where you're asking, what's all this for?
Or you've seen or heard things and you say to yourself, what does this even mean?
You've got questions.
And we've got some answers.
This is the Talk Boys Podcast. De La Cruz.
Holding pace.
Merry Christmas early to you.
Merry freaking Christmas, dude.
And you filthy animal.
Oh, man. What a ride December is already.
It is. It has been a sleigh ride, if you will.
All the puns intended. Man, it's one of those months where I look forward to it, but then when I'm in it, I go, oh man, I forgot about that.
Why do I feel this way?
I forgot.
Why is everyone else so happy? Or jolly?
Oh, jolly, as they say. But then you run into those people who just they hate it as much as me, but they're open about it.
Couple of Grinch boys,
but they're open about it. They don't want to hide it. They're just like, oh, this is, I hate Christmas. I swear, you guys told me online that you're going to get restocked with the Nintendo Switch, and this is the ninth Target I've been to.
Noise.
I saw that guy, and he just hated life. And
yeah. Yeah. We've talked about this before. There's two different sides of the spectrum. You have the people that start playing Christmas music in September.
Yep.
Then you have the people that are like us that are like, you know, like I enjoy it. Sure. I like to get time with family and friends. It's also a very stressful time of year for me. And then you have the people that are like, I hate Christmas. And then you have the people that seem like they enjoy it, but they enjoy it to the extent that everyone else has to be miserable around them.
100%. Yep. Let me get my gifts. I don't care if I skip you in line, which we'll get into all that later. But yeah, it's December isn't a beast of its own.
It is. 100%. Very much so. Very much so.
But thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Talk Boys Podcast.
What episode number is this?
I don't know, but I do know.
I think it's eight, maybe nine, maybe seven.
I feel like it's eight or nine.
I think it's eight. Episode eight, let the record show. This is probably episode eight.
Probably.
Christmas boys or holiday boys, whatever you celebrate.
Yep.
Hanukkah boys.
Kwanzaa boys. God, I wish it was Kwanzaa boys.
I don't even know much about Kwanzaa, but I'd love to learn more about it.
I do. So.
But 'tis the season. Hey, thanks for subscribing. And those of you that have left feedback on our podcast,
I would really appreciate it.
I don't think you can leave feedback on Spotify, but I know that on the podcast app with Apple, you can.
Yep.
And I've seen a few people leave like just some feedback, not feedback, really just ratings. And we've gotten all 5-star reviews and just really encouraging for us. It helps us continue to put out good content. So we thank you for subscribing. We thank you for following us on whatever platform you listen to that on. It seems like there's a lot on the podcast app, a lot on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. So thank you for that. One of the other ways, what's another way that they can follow us?
Follow us on Instagram at the Talk Boys Podcast. We promise we'll get better.
Yeah,
we promise.
If you didn't catch that on the social media episode, we're not like the biggest social media gurus, and we've realized that a lot of you are and like to follow that and like to have content coming to you on IG.
Yep.
We have a Facebook page as well, but the only thing that's there for is like it. Our Instagram posts just populate the Facebook page. Like I'm not checking Facebook normally. It's Instagram the majority of the time.
Yep. Yep.
And so follow us on there, and also like, that's where you're going to hear about new episodes. That's where you're going to hear about giveaways. We're going to get better at it. It's been a busy season, but we're looking forward to upping that IG game.
Yep, especially in 2022. It's going to be great. You'll see some merch drops, which we got a few things cooking.
Yeah.
Some good things.
When I tell you, you're going to want to rock the merch that we're going to be dropping. Like, it's not going to be just like your average merch that has our logo on it. Like, this is going to be stylish things to wear.
Yeah. And people are going to ask questions about it.
Like, I like that shirt. What is the brand? And you're going to go, it's them. You ever heard of them Talk Boys?
It's not a brand. It's a business.
It's not a brand. It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
You can be your own boss.
You can be.
We're inviting you into our pyramid scheme.
It's going to be great. The more you sell and you get people to sell for you, the more. Well, you get a Talk Boys car that you can drive in, like Mary Kay.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those, the pink Cadillacs?
I do. What kind of car?
That is a good one.
What kind of car would the Talk Boys? You give me your thoughts, and I'll give you mine.
If I was going to pick, I just feel like it would be like a 90s sturdy SUV/truck.
I don't know why, but I was going to say, when you said 90s sturdy, I was thinking Pontiac Sunfire.
That's it.
They don't make Pontiacs anymore.
No, do they not?
GM canned Pontiac back in... when they did the bailout thing, they canned Pontiac.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I was thinking, just what is a car that they don't make anymore? Like a Pontiac, like just a 90s Pontiac. Pontiac rang king.
Sunfire. Is that when I had a... No, that's Trans Am with the big bird.
A Sunfire was like the uncool Trans Am. It was it was like the four-cylinder, two-door coupe.
Yep.
You still see them every now and then.
I don't even know what... Let me look one up real quick. Pontiac Sunfire.
It's...
Will that be the podcast car that you get when you sell the merch?
With our current budget, I feel like we could afford to buy you guys a Pontiac Sunfire.
Dude, look at this, Jim. Oh, my gosh.
Does it not look like the 90s?
Yeah.
Like, everything about it.
It's a horrible car, but this would be it.
Yeah, and the reason we say it's... We don't want to offend you if you drive a Sunfire. It's just, if it were awesome, they'd still be making them, right?
That's true.
Like, they still make Honda Accords, you know? They still make Toyota Tacomas.
But they do not make Pontiac Sunfire.
They still make Ford F-150s, but the Sunfire, no. And if you sell enough, maybe we'll get you a Pontiac GTO, which is a cool car.
Did they don't make those anymore either?
No.
Dude, that's nuts.
Kind of sad now.
Yeah. Anywho, that's what... We got great merch coming.
Just follow us on Instagram at The Talk Boys Podcast. Pretty simple, all one word.
Yep, pretty simple.
TheTalkBoys Podcast.
The spell podcast, it'd be ridiculous. Like always, what are we sipping on today? We always need help getting through these things.
I love that mine is always open and that yours is not open. Like,
is true.
I always get a few sips to like get me started.
Pretty gamer. I'm going bougie, but I got a Monster Energy Ultra Blue. I don't really, but.
Let's hear that sip.
Put this in my body.
Oh, he's pouring it in a cup.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. I'm getting bougie today. I'm going to put it in some ice in a little knockoff Yeti cup. And
I've already put some of this energy drink in my body. It is a Red Bull, sugar-free Red Bull. I'm going back to back.
Those are the classic ones, dude. You can't beat it.
I just love Red Bull. And I don't know if it's because it's from Europe, it feels fancier. But, like, this particular one was made in Switzerland.
Wait, Red Bull is...
I thought Red Bull was Austrian.
Right? I thought it was... I'd be honest with you, I thought it was an American company.
No. I think Red Bull might be an Austrian company or might be a Swiss company. I know this particular one that I'm drinking was made in Switzerland.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you learn something new
every day.
Monster
is definitely American because all the bro dudes are on this thing.
Bro dude.
Bro, I just squatted my truck and I got a Monster sticker and I got a Monster tattoo.
Who's ready to hang out at Cookout? I am.
Yeah, and you bet it's 7 p.m. and I'm still wearing my Oakleys.
I wear these shades at night because my future is so bright.
That's...
We make fun of squatted trucks so much. There was probably something that we did, like, at that time that was stupid. You know what I did at Cookout parking lot when I was in high school?
What's that?
I don't know why this just popped in my head. We would find a front-wheel drive car. Okay, I drove a truck in high school, so like I couldn't participate. But we'd find somebody that had a front-wheel drive car that they just didn't care about. So typically it's that guy that drives like
the Pontiac Sunfire.
We're rolling it back.
Yes.
And you take the trays, like the plastic trays.
This is the best.
And you put them under the back tires because those tires don't pull in a front-wheel drive car.
Yep.
So they're just back there being stupid. They just help the car roll. And so when you put those trays back, they're very slick, and you can still steer, you can still drive, but your back tires, loosey-goosey, so you can drift.
That's amazing.
I'm not saying go do it. Full disclaimer.
But if you did,
you're going to have fun if you
It
did.
Will be awesome.
You might get pulled over.
I did do that in high school. I forgot about that, dude.
I don't know why that just popped into my head. We used to do that. And, it just made me want a front-wheel drive car. Like, I had a truck, and I was like, man, I wish I had a Pontiac Sunfire.
What kind of truck? Did you have, like, a nice truck? Or did you have, like, a, hey, son, this is what we got you for your first car truck?
It was... I would say, yeah, it was not like nobody looked at my truck and was like, oh, you know?
Dude, sweet.
It was a Chevy two-door, just a single cab Chevy.
Yeah.
Four-wheel drive.
So not like a S10?
No, it was a full-size truck.
Okay.
But it wasn't like, you know, I couldn't carry more than a couple friends because I had that single cab.
Could you have the bench seat in the front?
I did.
Yeah. I always wanted one of those.
You have the bench seat.
Yep.
Which is cool. You don't have anywhere to put your cups.
Oh, that's right.
If you're drinking an energy drink.
Where do you put your cups?
Dude, I bought one of those cheap, like, center console
little
things.
Screw on.
Yeah. But I guess, like, if you have a date night, you know, the bench seat is cool because you can, like, you know, your gal can sit right beside you.
Yep.
But I didn't allow that to happen because I had a stereo amp in the middle floorboard.
Yes. Yes.
And I had way too many subwoofers in a single cab truck, like more subwoofers than you should have put in there. But yeah, that was my truck. And I drove it. And you know what? I put a lot of miles on that truck and it got like 8 miles a gallon.
Oh my gosh. That's horrible.
It was terrible on gas. But
mine was bad too.
It got me where I needed to go. But I say this, if you drive an awesome car as your first car, I think there's just, you lose the development of humility.
That's true. You need to be like humbled a little bit on how bad your first car is.
What was yours?
Dude, mine was a 19
Pontiac Sunfire.
Mine's a 1991 Hunter Green Ford Explorer.
Oh, yeah.
The Eddie Bauer edition.
Eddie Bauer. Why does Eddie Bauer always come up?
I don't know.
We need to get a sponsorship from Eddie Bauer.
And so you usually see, oh, Eddie Bauer, like, that's the nice upgraded version, right? Sure. In 1991.
When it was brand new.
Boy, these leather seats were so destroyed and cracked, it would just cut me while I was driving.
Oh.
They were just like that.
That noise. Ow. It hurts. Why did I wear shorts?
Hey, your butt's bleeding. Oh, yeah, I was driving my Eddie Bauer with the crack leather.
You don't want to put the seat covers on because then nobody can see your sweet leather interior.
Yeah, how are they going to see the embossment that says Eddie Bauer in cursive?
Yeah. Hey, this thing, when you get in my car, it says Eddie Bauer. Haters, welcome. Haters, welcome in the Eddie Bauer.
I will say this. And parents, if you're a parent, do not buy your kid their first car. Do not buy an SUV.
I'm already thinking about the kids I don't have, and I'm like, man, I would kind of want to buy them an SUV because isn't it bigger and safer?
Sure.
What's your reasoning?
There's more room for activities.
Oh, sinning.
Sin. There's a lot more room for sin in
so
that cab.
So you need to get him a Pontiac Sunfire.
Get that Sunfire, dude. Ain't no one hanging out in that car.
There's just enough room for you and the Holy Spirit.
Dude, it's just not a bad idea. It's not a good idea. It is a bad idea. Freaking Sunfire. There's going to be somebody either the next week or in 5 years listening. What the crap, dude? What's wrong with my Sunfire?
What's interesting is that I think my first vehicle was in 1991 as well.
It's a cheap year to buy cars. But I tell you what, that thing was a tank.
My truck was, yeah.
I could hit anything, and I did. I hit so... and it was lifted, too, with big tires, yeah. Semi-big tires, yeah. Right? And I thought, like, oh, it's got four-wheel drive. That means I can do anything I want.
I'm
an off-roader, dude. No one has ever seen a Filipino off-road redneck, except for my cousin Mark.
You got to dip in?
Yeah, but I don't dip. It's one of those, like, peppermint ones.
Or the Jack Link's dip can of beef jerky.
It's just gross rotting meat right in my front lip. That's so gross.
Big League Chew.
I'll never forget. My buddy's like, dude, you got a four-wheel drive car. Let's go four-wheeling.
Let's go mudding.
Let's go mud bogging. And I said, sure, of course. And it was 17 or 18-year-old birthday. And so we go behind this, like... It was like the newly developed. They just cleared all the trees, but all the trucks went back there. So I'm like, I got a truck. Wrong. I had an SUV. I have about 8 or 9 dudes in this Ford Explorer.
Like, you got plenty of downweight.
Like a lot of weight. And I don't know how to drive in mud or anything like that. And I just go, okay, I guess you just floor it as fast as you can going through mud and see if you can make it on the other side.
Nope.
Was literally, it goes down like this big hill, and in the middle, it just looks like a pond. And on the other side, it's like, okay, that's where you go. I didn't know that the construction company that chopped all the trees down put him in the middle of this pond.
Ah.
You see where I'm going?
Yep.
I floor it, dude. Hang on. No one's wearing seatbelts. Why would you?
You have nine people.
I have 9 of my friends in the
car. Ford Explorers have never sat 9 comfortably.
No, not even 4 people.
Or with seatbelts.
No, I'm flying, dude. I hit the bottom going, I don't know, 40, 50 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like a car accident. My car gets air. Everyone is floating on the top of the roof. There's at least 4 concussions happened immediately as soon as we landed.
Yeah.
And it just ruined it ruined the shocks. It ruined everything.
Were you able to still drive it?
Yeah. But I never told my parents.
No, there were so many things I did. And it's probably better that we didn't have actual, like, majorly capable vehicles.
Yeah, or good cars.
Because my truck, I can just remember some of the things I did to that truck.
It's horrible, dude. I just abused it.
I had a brush guard on the front of it, and I remember, like, I would try to knock over things.
People, cars, signs.
Signs was, like, the number one thing. I'd be driving, I'd just go off the side of the road. just hit a few. Because it had a brush guard. I was like, well, that's what it's for. You can knock things over.
I want one now. Yeah. Do you have a brush guard on your car now?
I don't have one on the 4Runner.
Oh, no. I want it.
Which kind of... Now that I use it for, like, necessary utility reasons.
You kind of need it.
Sometimes I'm like, man, it'd be nice. But, yeah, we did some and in hindsight, I think about it now, and I'm like, man, I wish they'd have gave me a cooler car. But I'm glad that they didn't, because I could have definitely done way more damage.
If you had, like, a legit car.
I off-roaded in my dad's Yukon one time.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was a nicer, much nicer car.
Oh, I'm sure.
So my mom and dad have always drove, like, bigger vehicles. And
yeah.
My mom has typically had some sort of, like, Tahoe or Suburban. And my dad would drive – he typically had a truck. But at that point in time, his daily was, a GMC Yukon. And it's a nice vehicle. And when I was 15, my brother worked. And my parents would be out of town, whether they were, like, at a meeting or, you know, visiting someone. And me and my brother would have to work. And I didn't want to go places with them. So I was just, like, cool it at home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when my brother was at work, he would work till like 9 p.m. and I would just get really bored. So my parents had gone. They took my mom's Suburban. My brother took his truck. So, like, I typically at 14, 15 years old would just, like, drive to the store, or I'd drive around town.
That's ridiculous.
Like, I didn't have a license, but yeah. I would just drive places.
My,
like,
parents would kill
if
me.
I wanted to go kill I don't know why you just said my parents would kill me. If I wanted to go kill people. No, if I want to go chill, that's what I was trying to say. Like with my friends, I would go there or just whatever. Typically, there was a Pilot gas station that was like
a good old Pilot,
a mile and a half from the house, and I would just drive there,
like on a main road.
Oh yeah, no and I would way, just drive dude. There. And dude, I was a pretty bold person, and so I would drive because at 14 years old, I looked like I feel like I looked like an adult. You know, because I was like pretty much the same height I am now. And
good
like,
Lord. At so, 14.
So I would drive places. Well, this particular day, I don't know what got into me, but they were building houses in the development we lived in beside us. And they had like just freshly graded all that property. So it was like a lot of mud.
Yeah, dude.
And I got the Yukon stuck. And this is a nice car that I've gotten stuck
in the housing development.
And the only way to get it out of there was to, like, jump. Like, I couldn't back up. So the only way I could do is go forward. Well, going forward went over, like, an embankment.
Oh, my.
And so I was like, well, I'm just going to send it. So, like, I couldn't get it to go anywhere in reverse. It's in four-wheel drive. So I put it in four-wheel drive, and I stomp it. Cleared the ditch line, the embankment. And honestly, very capable SUV. However, I busted the like fog lights up under like was like I think they call it an air dam. It's like right below you're going to learn a little bit about cars. There's the little plastic piece that's below your bumper. That's called an air dam. It's like for aerodynamics in your car.
Oh.
And so that had some fog lights on it.
Not anymore. Well,
it busted those fog lights off. And, dude, so I get back to the house, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to tell my dad because he'll figure it out. Even if I fix it, he's going to know something's not right because it's going to have brand new fog lights versus, you know, ones that are a few years old. And so I, like, called my mom because I thought, okay, well, she'll be, like, my shield first.
Yeah, she'll like, be more graceful.
Typically, my mom was kind of, like, more on don't kill him side of things, you know?
Yeah.
So I call her, and I go, hey, I like wrecked dad's car. And mom goes, what? Ethan wrecked it? My older brother? I was like, no, I wrecked it. And she's trying to process the fact that I was driving illegally, like I was not old enough to drive.
Yeah.
And she goes, and then I hear my dad in the background go, what does he want?
Like, oh, no.
And she
together.
Goes, he wrecked your car. And dad goes, what?
No way.
What? And I hear my dad say that. So my mom puts me on the phone with my dad.
Oh.
And he goes, what did you do? I said, I wrecked your car. I was being stupid. It's fine. It runs fine. But the headlight assembly and the air dam are like jacked up. And I just remember my dad goes, when I get home, don't be there.
How terrifying. Where do you go?
I'm going to kill you when I get home, basically.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. That's what that tells me.
So what's crazy is I think my uncle came over and I just had to growing up had a super cool uncle. He's still awesome. We call him Uncle Rico. His name's Roy, but we call him Uncle Rico and like off of Napoleon Dynamite. And
yeah,
he came
yeah.
over and he helped me fix the whole thing.
What a legend.
And when my parents got home, have I told this story before?
I've never heard this story.
I thought I told you this story. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. But when I got home, like I'd cooked a meal and cleaned the whole house, and like my parents completely forgot about it.
What a recovery!
So me and my uncle fixed the front bumper, like completely looked brand new.
You redid the lights and everything.
Yeah, it looked fine. And then when they got home, the whole house was spotless, and I had prepared a meal for them. Like a legit meal. I cooked it. I had candles lit.
Gosh.
The whole nine yards. And so when they got home, my mom was just like, oh, the house looks so nice. And, you know, my dad's like, he's like kind of looking around. He saw his car was fixed and he came in. And like, I don't even think I got grounded. The recovery was so good. I think they just respected the game.
That's a veteran move, though. Kids yeah. take note on that one.
If you mess up. If you do something stupid,
and you will.
Your recovery has to be way better than what you did.
Yeah, you just can't compensate for what you messed up on. You have to go above and beyond.
I remember my uncle telling me at one point in time, different time, he said, if you're going to be bad, you got to be smart.
That's good and bad advice.
Terrible advice, but it was like, I remember being like, dude, you're right. And no teenager's really like actually smart. Like you're smart, sure, intelligent, but you don't have enough life experience to like. But dude, what a solid recovery.
Yeah, that normally does not happen. I think I remember my older
brother kind of being a little upset at how I'd got away with it.
Because he wouldn't have, yeah, but that's and the
he,
same with.
Like, he might have done that, sure, but I remember him just, like, hoping that I would get in more trouble.
That's your oldest brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same. I'm the oldest brother in my family, and I would do the same. Like, how did you not get in trouble like I did? They were just smarter and learned from my mistakes, and they just got, like, they were able to just navigate it better, where I was just, like, the first one doing it in my family. Oh, yeah. I got caught, and you're like. Oh, I'm not getting caught. You gotta recover.
Hey, and there's a life lesson in that. You are going to be faced with opposition. You are going to make dumb choices. Like, and please don't try to avoid making dumb decisions. But if you do, it's an opportunity to learn.
Yep.
And it's an opportunity to be better off than you were before. That bumper was better than it was before. And did your boy ever drive before he was a licensed driver after that?
I can't believe that.
I did not.
No?
I would drive my four-wheeler places.
So you had a four-wheeler?
For a short amount of time, yeah.
Dude, I love off-road vehicles like that.
I had a very fast four-wheeler. Like, one that a teenage boy should not have. It was like
you did two-stroke. Stupid stuff with it.
It was a two-stroke. And I remember my mom, like, she would not look. Like, she'd come outside and I'd be like, look, Mom. And she would cover her eyes because she didn't want to see me
Lord
do stupid.
Bless.
She would be so stressed out. I don't want you to have that. And she'd tell my dad, she'd go, you need to tell him he needs to get rid of it. Well, he doesn't need it. And we, like, rightfully so. I mean, I feel like I was, you know, nothing could hurt me. But furthermore, there's a life lesson to learn. What's new with you, Josh?
Oh, man. Thanksgiving's done, right?
Yeah. What's, yeah.
Thanksgiving's done. We've entered into Christmas season. I got a left hook from some type of sickness that...
Should we say we both got...
Yeah, we both did.
I took the right, and then you took the left.
Yes, but the problem is it was Mike Tyson, so they're equally as powerful.
Yeah.
And we both got knocked out, dude.
We have a third friend that got the Tyson uppercut
to
the chin.
Our sweet friend Alex.
She did. We all went down. I think I went down first.
Yep.
Then Alex, then you.
Yes.
But it was like...
Like
just
so
back
quick.
To back.
Yeah.
Within hours.
And it's not like we've had multiple COVID tests, both of us, all negative, but it is, I don't know if I've ever been sick like this before.
That's why I keep saying, like, even though we've had negative tests, if this isn't the flu, what is it? Because it's very, the symptoms have been very weird.
Yeah.
Like, we're still, if you hear it in our voice, like, if we're mouth breathing heavily today, it's because we both cannot breathe through our noses.
Yeah, our face isn't working. Couple of mouth boys.
I sound like a bulldog in this microphone today.
I the sinus headaches, dude. And here's what's funny. Like everyone always used to make fun of me, like yearbook pictures, smile, Josh. Well, no, you got to open your eyes. And I'm like, it's not an option for me. Like, you get one or the other. Like, it's, but the sinus headache make me squint so much to where, like, I legit can't see.
Yeah.
And my eyes
also, I don't know if your sinus headaches have been like this. I have blurred vision when I get them.
Mm.
Like, terrible headaches.
Yeah, they're horrible. Horrible. I coughed up an alien amoeba, which is disgusting.
Yeah, I ran a low fever. Now, I think Alex ran a high fever.
See, I didn't get one.
And you didn't get one.
No.
I ran like a low fever, but when I tell you that Saturday, I woke up Saturday morning, and it felt like you know what they say, that joke, you know what's red and bad for your teeth?
What?
A brick.
Sure.
Yeah, I felt like I got hit in the forehead with a brick.
Oh,
and
God.
Like I just felt so like exhausted, and I don't feel like that. Like I don't have days where I'm like I can't. It hurts to move my body places. So I got out of bed and I moved to the couch. I remember just thinking this is terrible. So I got like put some contingency plans in place for people to cover for me. And Saturday, Sunday, I was just
out.
Dude, out for the count. I was useless. And then I came in Monday, which I should not have. I still felt terrible. But I tested negative twice for COVID. So I thought, well, I can still be at work.
Power it through.
But, man, I felt so terrible. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, still. And today I feel better, but I still don't feel 100%.
No, I don't either. Yeah, it's like I always have this weird thing. Like, I'm always kind of like a little tired, which is why, you know, I compensate and stuff like that for, you know, bring around my friends.
Yeah. Lol. A little Red Bull.
He's a little friend of mine. But this has been just like, there's no energy to do anything. I slept 12 plus hours.
And it's like it's not enough.
It's not helping me. Yeah.
If you are a doctor.
Help me.
I don't feel like a lot of doctors are in our listener base.
No.
They're probably learning stuff. But if you are, please tell us what this is, because I just now got back in the gym this morning and I still felt very like slow paced, and I feel like I'm starting to really get my energy back. But dude, I felt, what are some things that you do when you're sick?
I'm pathetic.
I am too. Like,
I'm just a
big baby.
I'm a pathetic loser. You are one pathetic loser.
No offense.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I might, like, I start thinking like, this is it.
Dude, I do that every time I get sick. I always think, should I make a will?
Yeah. Do I just start writing things I'm thankful for and just be like, do I make notes to my, you know,
I always think I'm going to, and I think it's because I rarely get sick.
Like, yeah, me too.
I rarely get sick. And so when I do get sick, I assume it's just the end of the road.
Yeah, this is it. Lord,
I'm pushing me off to sea, cover, yeah, a lot of flaming arrows, shoot it into me.
Give these shoes to my grandkids.
Ain't that the Viking funeral? They like push you off and in like a wooded basket,
and they light it on fire.
They light an arrow on fire and shoot it into you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't do that in the ocean though. You'll just keep coming back in.
Oh, he didn't burn all the way. That's disgusting.
Dang it. He keeps coming back. Oh, yeah. So we're both. Yeah. I feel like I'm pretty pathetic. I just kind of lay there.
Do you have like something you like to do when you're sick?
I eat a lot of soup
dude.
I don't know why soup is a go-to, and I think it's because there's electrolytes in the broth. Is that why soup is a normal?
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of bro science behind why soup is good when you're sick.
It just warms you.
Yeah.
Dude, what's your go-to soup?
Oh, chicken noodle soup.
Oh, classic.
With extra chicken.
Extra noodle.
Extra noodle.
Extra soup.
I want that American chicken noodle soup to look like freaking ramen. I want so many noodles in it.
Speaking of ramen, you know what my go-to sick soup is?
What?
I want wonton soup.
Really? Oh, dude, that's good.
I love, wonton's kind of like a noodle.
Yeah, it is.
And there's a few places that I get it from. One is this Chinese restaurant right down the road from my house.
Okay.
A hole in the wall. Their wonton soup is fire.
They usually are, but that you judge that by how good the food's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you can't make wonton soup, bro, we're talking about broth and soup for you. No soup for you.
No, you cannot have.
So I do that, and then if I'm feeling a little bougie, the wonton soup. I have a P.F. Chang's like a couple miles from my house.
That P.F. Chang's soup.
If you're real sick and you want to spring for the wallet.
Yeah, but how much is that soup?
It's not that much. Now, Chinese restaurant, a small wonton soup is $1.80.
Yeah, that's not good for anyone.
Which is, dude, what a great value.
It's great value. Yeah, it comes out the same, though.
And then P.F. Chang's is probably like $8.95.
Golly, for soup.
But the soup is a little better.
That's true.
So if I'm feeling really bad, I'll spring for the P.F. Chang's.
Which is probably way less amount of MSG in there.
I feel a little better when I eat the P.F. Chang's wonton soup.
Yeah, because if you eat the China Wok version, you're like, I am so bloated with sodium. My face gained 5 pounds.
Oh. The face that we both make when we do.
Oh my God, it's so dumb.
We'll have to do video podcast. So I do that, and then because I don't know if it's because I'm feeling sorry for myself or what, I do two other things, like amongst other things. I drink Pedialyte, a lot of water. Yep. I always drink a lot of water, but when I'm sick, for some reason, I'm like, I can get better way faster if I keep a bunch of water and electrolytes. So yeah, at least a gallon and a half every day. But the other thing is I watch either deep, deep documentaries because I've got more time to do that. And so I watch like a lot of documentaries on stuff, and I watch very like heartwarming or like deep track movies, not necessarily deep track, but like thought provoking movies, movies that are in like my top 10 list of movies.
Because you have time to go back on them.
So Saturday, I think, I watched The Green Mile.
Oh, jeez. I'm not ready for that one.
But when you're sick, like, you watch The Green Mile, it's just like, I don't know, you're kind of hoping that John Coffey will come and, like, heal you. Have you ever seen The Green Mile?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's, like, healing people. So it's kind of like, man, wish he'd come get this sickness just away from me.
Place your palms on my head. Heal me, please.
I'm tired, boss. That's okay. Me. When he says that, I'm like, dude, me too. I'm so tired.
Take me out, Lord.
And no, but so I watched that, and then I was getting ready to watch The Shawshank Redemption.
That's top 10 movie of all time.
I was getting ready to watch Shawshank Redemption, and my wife was like, no.
We're not ready for this.
Because she's sitting there with me for most of the day because it's a Saturday.
Oh, yeah. So you're just watching movies together.
And she's already watched The Green Mile and a very deep documentary. And she's like, can we watch a Christmas movie?
She's just emotionally depleted. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was like, let's watch Shawshank. And she goes, Holden, no.
I don't have time.
We finished the day with Elf.
Yes. Which is a good one. A good upper for the downer.
Yeah. What about you? Is there anything other than soup?
Just eating tons of soup. Dude, I've just found myself watching things that I wish I could do on YouTube. Mm. So, like, I just watch a ton of, like, this might be the most dad thing ever, but just camping videos.
Dude, that's great.
I just love watching camping videos of guys just setting up their campsite, learning new knots, how to tie, making a fire, foraging, just weird stuff like that. But yeah. I love it. And so my daughter, every time I put on, not camping. And so she always just like checks out, which is fine. She wants to watch Paw Patrol and Bluey, so I don't care.
What's Bluey?
Bluey is this Australian dog, and
he's, is it like Blue's Clues for Australians?
Yes, Bluey. Dude, Bluey's amazing. Hello, everyone.
Hello, is he? Well, name's Bluey.
My name's Bluey. Hello,
he sounds British.
Yeah, well, technically they are British, right?
Australians are British.
British rednecks.
They are. Sorry to our Australian friends that we know.
Is that real?
We need one of our Australian friends on an episode.
Yeah.
Because we have a few.
Wow, we really should.
And ask them some Australian stuff.
Yeah, some just ignorant Australian stuff that we
are
as
you,
American.
Is it true or untrue that you are British rednecks?
Do you actually eat kangaroo?
They do. We've talked about this before.
Do you think... what is that spread that's disgusting?
You know what I'm talking about? Hang on. I'm looking it up. Australia.
It starts with a... It's not Nutella.
Spread.
Oh.
Vegemite. Vegemite.
Oh, dude.
It's a popular savory spread made from leftover brewer's yeast.
Leftover armpit juice.
It has a rich, salty taste. And as a symbol of Australians' national identity, with over 22 million jars of Vegemite sold each year, Australians just can't seem to get enough.
Well, and they should stop because it's... Have you ever tried it?
Based off the definition, can I just say, based off the definition, it doesn't sound good at all.
You can't say savory and overly salty. What is it?
Like, nobody's ever looked at me and said, oh, yeah, I made this from brewer's yeast. And you go,
I can't wait for that to sit in the bottom of my tummy. It's disgusting.
Can't wait to put that on bread.
So if we have an Australian guest in here, we have to eat it all together.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we got to do.
Do they sell it in the U.S.?
Yeah, I'm sure we could get it.
Yeah.
You can get anything. Amazon Prime probably has it.
So that, yeah, we were sick. We're better.
So yeah, we're on the up and up, I would say.
We're getting better. And my voice, I was really worried this week that I'd lose my singing voice. And it seems like it's gradually getting better each day. So
the best way to check if you haven't lost your singing voice is to do the opening line of Growing Pains.
Show me that smile.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, show me that smile. God, I'm the worst singer. All right. Well, the next segment we have is just one backed by popular voting, whatever, popular opinion.
Our popular opinion.
Popular request is the Urban Dictionary word of the day. So let's bring up that tab. It is called mask fishing.
What is mask fishing, you might ask?
I'll tell you what it is. The phenomenon where people appear to be more attractive because they are wearing a face mask.
Oh, man. Which is a new thing, right?
Yes. Can I use it in a sentence?
Please.
I thought this guy was totally cute, but then he took off his face mask, and now I can see he was mask fishing.
So is that implying that you only wear a mask, like if you're less good looking? Like,
oh, no. Is it talking about the mask, like face masks, like COVID masks?
That's what I'm saying. It's only been popular probably over the last.
Which is why it's a phenomenon.
2 years, right? Oh, dude, 2 years. Dude,
can you imagine? I'll be honest with you. When people wear masks, even all of last year, and then we're like, we don't have to wear masks as much anymore. And I had a gathering of sorts at my house. This guy walks into my house and I go, hey, man.
Who are you?
Who? Oh, it's me. I go,
it's me, Terry.
It's me. Input name. And I go,
Randall.
Oh, my God. I didn't even recognize you. I've never seen you before. And you're like, yeah, you have. I've been here. I've seen you for like 6 months. And I was like, oh,
you've been my best friend for 18 years.
I don't recognize you with your new mouth and face. Dude, that is interesting. Mask fishing.
Do you think, this is a good question, do you think that you look better or worse with a face mask on?
I think I look better with a face mask on.
I would agree.
For me.
No,
I would agree. Your face is dumb.
I think you look dynamite either way, Josh.
Thanks, man.
No, I would say that I agree for myself that I probably look better with a face mask.
Yeah, there's a lot of my face that I can't, like, I can't grow a beard for crap. It takes me forever.
I don't even aim to. I grew a mustache for a while, but now I'm just sporting this old goatee.
I like it.
But yeah, I would say, you know, the less of my face you have to see,
the better for you.
But I'll say this objectively. For me to say, look at someone, guy or girl, and be like, that is what society would deem an attractive person, a lot of that's subjective. I think that a smile is a very, like, good feature on a person.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
And if I can't see that smile, show me that smile again.
Ooh, show me that smile.
But true, like, a smile is a very important thing.
It is.
It's not just if you got good or bad teeth. It's more of just a...
Can you smile? Like,
how do you smile?
Yeah. I think it's a reflection of, like, how you feel inside.
Yeah, so, like, yeah.
Whoa, super deep.
There's that awkward smile of, like, I don't know you, but we're passing each other. So yeah, that's like...
You're acknowledging someone. Just the kind of smirk.
Because based off how you smile at me, it tells me if you're just smiling because you're comfortable or if you actually, like, hope that I have a good day.
You can tell a difference. Yeah.
That right there.
That means, man, Holden really wants me to win today. Yeah.
Versus.
Yeah, there is a difference.
That fake smile, no teeth, just...
Yeah, but
your eyebrows are the same. It's like you don't love smile me with at your all.
You actually hate
love me.
Please. which goes, I mean, since this is our Christmas episode, like, everyone talks about this season being like this is the season of joy and this, that, and other, and be happy.
Joy Boys podcast.
Joy Boys podcast. Like, what are your initial thoughts on Christmas in general?
Can I go deep for a minute?
Let's take a dive.
Some of the listeners are going to hate this. Some are going to relate to it. You can either hate or you can relate. For me, Christmas was, I don't know, like I always really enjoyed Christmas. Growing up, it was just very special. We had a lot of family rituals that we did every year. And then, like, I guess like 5 years ago, my parents got divorced. I was 22 or 23. And mom, if you're listening, just fast forward. I'm not trying to make you sad. But, or my brothers. But for me, there was a point in time after that where Christmas was very weird. And a lot of that was because I had had 22 Christmases that were exactly the same.
Yeah, for sure.
And all of a sudden, Christmas is like, I go to two different places, and it's just very odd now. Like, a lot of our family rituals are not the same anymore. And so it was like relearning to, like, enjoy Christmas again. So there was, I don't know, probably 4 years, three or four years where, like, I, like, despised Christmas. Like, I didn't look forward to it. I just hope it would, like, end quickly. And now I would say I'm finally at the point where, like, because we've created new, like, Christmas, I guess, like,
traditions,
yeah, that I've began to enjoy it again. But the thing that does stress me out, and I just decided like a year ago not to do it, is make like feeling like I have to go see everybody when I'm at home.
Dude, yes.
I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And you can get mad at me if you want to. Like, if you listen to this and you're one of my family members, you're mad that I haven't seen you at the past Christmases, I just ask you to, like, put yourself in my shoes. I'm driving 5 hours home to see family. I've only got a few days to be there.
That's it.
I can't possibly see everyone. If you want to see me, make time to come see me. But, like, I'm not going to, you know, drive out of my way to come to your house because I've only got so many hours that I can be there and be able to see my family. So I just made the choice not to be stressed out about going and seeing everyone. And do people get, like, irritated with me?
Yeah, that's going to happen.
But at the end of the day, like, I've just experienced the stress versus being able to go, okay, well, I'm going to these three places.
Right.
Here's where I'm going to be. And, you know, I don't have to see everyone.
Right. And then you have to ask yourself, do I want you to enjoy the holiday more, or am I supposed to enjoy it?
Yeah.
And you can come along for the ride.
Is this about, yeah, and you know where I live.
Right.
That's,
freaking visit me.
Dude, that's all I want to say is, like, you know where I live. Every time I'm in town, all of you live there. And yes. I'm in town.
Yep.
You know where I live. Like, if you actually wanted to see me that bad, come see me. And I'm not saying that my time is so valuable.
Right, right.
But at the end of the day, like, I can only see so many people. And I only want to see so many in a short amount of time to where it's not stressful for me. Yeah, so
it can be an overload.
And it typically is, so I just choose not to go visit. So I would say initial thoughts about Christmas, I loved it. Then I went to a point where I very much disliked it. And then I learned to enjoy Christmas again.
That's good.
What about you?
I love it. I get to see family that I don't live by anymore. And yeah. So this is our second Christmas that we are a good, you know, 5+ hours away from them. And so
you get it.
Yeah. And it's just like, I have 7 days to see all my friends, all my family, I'm going to miss out on some people and they're going to be upset. We haven't seen you. And I'm like, I know, especially in the field that we work, like Christmas Eve is a big deal where we work.
Yeah. So we're working until the evening of Christmas Eve. And then I don't know if you're doing what I'm doing. I'm getting in the car as soon as the gathering's over and driving 5 hours home. So I'll get there sometime between 10 and the next day.
like around midnight.
And, you know, so a lot of my family's asleep, and I'll just kind of go in, fall asleep, and wake up, and then it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. It's family.
Open your presents, everybody.
It's Christmas.
Hurry up. It says, hey,
the precious may be in one of these boxes.
Yeah, so, but I do enjoy the time with family. And I think I enjoy it more now because I'm so far away that I didn't realize how much I appreciated being close to family when I was closer.
Yeah.
And another thing is, I grew up in the mountains. And so going back to the mountains, I forget how pretty it is there. Especially at Christmas time. And so, like, I feel like I have a better appreciation for time with family. I have a better appreciation for time, you know, just in the area that I'm going to be at. And so I think that's given me a, like, moving away has given me a better, you know, perspective on Christmas and, you know, just, and what Christmas is means for me, aside from, you know, like, what it means for us as Christians, because you and I are Christians, and we've talked about, you know, our faith in a lot of the episodes, and that has a very special meaning, you know, for us as well, where we reflect on what the actual Christ in Christmas means.
Right.
And then in addition to that, being able to spend time with family, and I think, do you remember this? Do you remember this? When you went from, it was a weird progression. I think when I turned about 20, was when it really hit me that, like, Christmas is no longer enjoyable for the same reasons as it was years ago.
No. No, they're not. Like, yeah, I agree with you.
It hit me like a ton of bricks. I remember, I think it was when I turned 20, the year I turned 19 or 20, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, Christmas is not, before it was all, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? What am I going to get?
Yep.
And then it, like, shifted to, I'm not really, like, going to probably get as much as I used to, but I'm like,
that's okay.
I actually enjoy it more now. I think I enjoy Christmas more now when I actually just realize that, like, I get to spend time with family and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. But there's a progression. If you're younger and you haven't hit that yet, there's going to be a point in time where you, like, step more into adulthood and you go, oh, well, like, I get why, you know, what I start understanding more about the actual what Christmas is about and less about the consumerist child that I was before.
Yeah, what culture says Christmas is.
Yeah, what can I get?
Yeah, especially when you're a parent too. That's another progression too.
Sure, yeah.
And then you go, man, I just want to see my kid just light up and for her to understand, like, we celebrate this not because of a tree or lights or Santa Claus or anything like that. Like, we believe in a God that made the ultimate sacrifice for us.
And came to earth, was born as a man. Like, all God, born as a man.
Yeah.
Dealt with all the things that we dealt with. And so, yeah, there you get to explain. I'll tell you this. I don't have kids yet, but I'm going to have a hard time not going broke at Christmas time for my kids.
Oh, dude. I keep clicking stuff on Amazon. I just keep clicking. She needs a tea set. Oh, yeah. She needs this little Doc McStuffins doctor kit. Oh, yeah, she needs a cash register. Oh, she doesn't need any of this stuff.
Can we go into more parenting things? I just want to hear your take on this. What is your thoughts on Santa Claus? And I'll tell you this, going into it, I don't have, like, a major predisposition on Santa Claus. I just find it very interesting, people's thoughts on whether or not they should tell their kids that Santa's real.
Yeah. I mean, my daughter's 4, so, like, there's this, it's fun.
Sure. And all her friends, a lot of her friends are probably. Yeah.
But I think when
Santa believers.
Yeah. God. It's just fun. Here's a funny story. We wouldn't have this moment if I told her, like, hey, Santa's not real.
Yeah.
We were in Target a couple weeks ago. Bro, this guy. He's an older guy, right? Maybe in his mid-60s, late-60s.
Yeah.
He has pants on. He has suspenders on. Old dude, right? Nothing very Santa Claus-ish. About where you get to up to his neck, he has a beard and an incredible, all-white beard, an incredible mustache that will wisp out. It's all white. And he has long white hair about
to... Looks like peppermint cotton candy on his face.
Yes, it does. God. And he has one of those cabbie hats that, like, it looks like a Christmas wrapping paper.
Ah.
And he's just walking with his wife through Target, right?
Just a jolly man.
Just a jolly old man. And Lawson's hanging on the she looks over and she goes, and looks back at me and she goes, Dad, are you serious?
Are you freaking kidding me right now, Dad?
And in this moment, you have to say, am I going to be a good parent or am I going to be a great parent?
Oh, yeah.
I picked great. And I said, you know who that is, right?
Look over there.
And she's like, is that who I think it is? I said, you bet your You bet your butt it is. She goes, should I talk to him? And I go, I don't know. Let's just see. So we're like, he goes down the aisle. We miss him, right?
You start telling him.
We go.
That's what I do.
That's what she's like. Can we follow him? And I go, no, we're not going to follow, you know, this dude who looks like Santa Claus. We go to the Christmas area. He comes by us. And she's just, she's like.
Frozen in time. She,
literally frozen right in front of him. And he looks, and he looks at me. And I just smile. I don't say anything. And he could have done one or two things. Could have ignored this little girl, probably gets heckled all the time. Or he goes, you know what? I'm going to sprinkle a little
holiday cheer.
A little holiday cheer into this little girl's heart. And he just waved to her and smiled, and he said, Merry Christmas. That girl cheesed so hard, ran up to me, gave me the biggest hug, and he goes, Santa, just talk to me. And that was the best Target experience I've ever had in my life.
So I think you've probably, because I'm very like indifferent on whether or not I want my future children to believe in Santa.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you that like may have like that moment, I'm just like, yeah, well, you can believe in Santa if you want. Like,
yeah. I mean, when she goes to school, when there's other kids there, that's where I go, hey, man, you don't want to be that kid. Yeah. Santa's just kind of a fun thing about Christmas. Here's what it really is. I mean, we do talk about that now, but I don't want to be like, yeah, hey, Santa's coming to my house. What is he going to get you? And then some kid is going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't want her to be that kid.
So also, you could look up the actual St. Nicholas, right?
I guess you could.
I looked this up at one point in time.
It's weird, isn't it?
He was born in a 3rd century village of Patara. All the time, the area was Greek and is now southern coast of Turkey. His wealthy parents, who raised him to be a devout Christian, died in an epidemic while Nicholas was still young. Obeying Jesus' words to sell your own and give your money to the poor, Nicholas used his whole inheritance to assist the needy, the sick, and the suffering. He dedicated his life to serving God and was made the Bishop of Myra while still a young man. Bishop Nicholas became known throughout the land for his generosity to those in need, his love for children, and his concern for sailors and ships.
Look at that. That's real, right?
Now, you can fact check me on that, but that is the St. Nicholas that I had heard about. There's also, here in Myrtle Beach, there's also a St. Nicholas Orthodox Christian Church.
That's where you're going to go for Christmas.
Santa Church? Are you kidding me?
Sign me membership right now.
I can wear red. You betcha. Okay. Yeah, so I'm indifferent about whether or not. Yeah, some people very strongly, yes, very strongly, no. I found out at a very young age that Santa was not real.
Same.
And it was because my older brother, he wanted to spoil it for me.
Of course.
He was like, Mom and Dad put the presents under the tree. I was like, no, they don't. He goes, yeah, they do. And I was like, okay. And that was it. Like, it didn't, like, right my there. World didn't crash around me. I think I might have been Lawson's age. Like, I might have been about 4 years old. Yeah. So people do lose their mind over, like, Christmas, you know, Santa Claus or not Santa Claus. Another thing is the word Christmas or the word holiday.
Oh, dude. I'm over
Why
it.
Do people get so mad about? Do they? Because I hear people go, "You're taking Christ out of Christmas."
No, you're not. No. Hey, sit down, order an extra round of biscuits at Cracker Barrel, and stop with your attitude.
Yeah, it's a holiday drink. Don't lose your mind over that. Honestly, can I go there?
Yep, send it.
People choose that as a hill worth dying on, but then they'll be mean to the waitress. And
oh, dude, yes.
And then they'll. Yeah, they
like it's her fault or his fault.
But that's I can't believe it's a holiday drink. They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. You know the best way to put Christ in Christmas is to be an actual Christian. When you go in the store, be nice to people.
Yes. Yeah, dude.
I know that I don't have a big soapbox to stand on, but the people that are typically losing their mind over a word, it's like, how nice are you being to people? How loving are you being to people?
Yeah.
Are you spending more time in the word than you are making petitions about keeping Christ in Christmas?
Oh, horrible.
Like, and so holiday, Old English term, holy day.
Oh, they don't even know because they're uneducated.
A day or festivity or recreation when no work is done.
Come on, son. Give me a holiday all the time.
Let's go on holiday.
A holiday?
A holiday, mate.
It's that time.
Gromit. Jeez, Gromit. I don't know why we immediately went to claymation. But yeah, don't lose your mind over the word Christmas or holiday. And I get that there are probably people that do want to get rid of the term Christ and Christmas because there's people that celebrate other things around that time. And culturally, we do have a cultural holiday in the U.S. called Christmas where it is about giving gifts and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, how you celebrate is – like, I think, and your heart posture when celebrating is more important than what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. That's the real reflection of what you think.
Yeah.
Or what you believe in.
Yeah. The world is never going to be devout Christians. That's why it's called the world.
Oh, dude. I have so many conversations with older people, would you say? More seasoned people.
Seasoned vets.
About just like, I can't believe X, Y, and Z. And I go, why? They don't believe what you believe.
Yeah.
Why are you shocked?
And you're going to spend so much more time getting stressed when you could just choose to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's supporting them. Oh, is it though?
Nope.
Is it though?
Loving someone doesn't require your support. It just requires your loving them.
Yeah. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah. So holiday versus Christmas, I don't lose it over that. I just choose to be, I try to be kind to people. Do I always get it right? Bro, no.
No, I don't either.
But I get frustrated just as much the next time, next guy in the store.
Oh, dude, the stores.
I'm trying to get things, you know, for family or whatever. And I can get frustrated. But the thing that I don't do, I don't get frustrated at the people working in those stores because I'm sure they would much rather be with their families or much rather be shopping for their family than they are serving you so you can be kind to them.
That's true. We have to be nicer to the people that are like literally serving us in the time where we just want to relax.
And economically, the places that they're working currently are understaffed. So they're working more than typical.
Yes. Yeah. It's just a reminder of like, I need to embody this spirit, like this fruit of like patience that I rarely have, but now more than ever, I just need to show that to other people.
And if you have an opportunity, oh, that's me. Hang on. I had a reminder. So it wasn't to stop recording. It was just a reminder for later. If you have an opportunity to be kind to someone, tip somebody extra in the holiday season.
Yep.
Like, if you don't tip, don't go out to eat. But if you do, tip them more than you normally would. Think about, put yourself in their shoes. Use it as a time to be empathetic for everybody that's working, and it's not just about you. And I would say this for ourselves as much as anybody else, but you know, give somebody a bigger tip than you normally would. Be kinder to people during this time because that's how you can be different.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you can be different because people aren't typically going to be like that. People will be more selfish during the holidays. They're going to, and, you know, there's a lot of stresses that come with the holidays. Suicide, I think, is at its highest in the holiday season.
Yeah. It causes a lot of PTSD for a lot of people.
And also, like, people are spending time with family. There's people out there that are going to leave that job and spend Christmas by themselves,
which is. And it's
heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah, that really is sad.
Invite somebody that you know is going to spend Christmas by themselves to your house.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Well, it's just family. Oh, really?
In the past, my family would invite people over for Christmas that they knew like had moved from out of town.
That's amazing.
And they didn't have. And like, it's not saying we've done that every year, but I remember thinking like, this is great.
Yeah.
And so you have opportunity to do that, like. And I know the holiday versus Christmas put us on a rabbit trail, but at the end of the day, like, it is an opportunity to be kind to people and to actually show like a little Christmas spirit, to be Christ-like.
Generosity.
And if you are a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, you're going like, well, I'm not a Christian.
Well, just be nice to people.
Just be nice to people. Don't get on the naughty list.
You lump of coal. Did you have any Christmas like traditions that your family did, like on the day, like you, this is what you did?
So Chinese.
What?
Chinese. On for years on Christmas Eve, my family would eat Chinese food.
That's amazing.
We would either go out to eat and eat Chinese food, or we would like order in. How that started is one Christmas, I was a kid, very young, probably 8 or 9 years old. My dad had kidney stones.
Which are horrible.
I've never had them, but I've heard that it's like terrible pain. And so my dad is in extreme pain, and he hadn't ate in days, and it was Christmas Eve. And my mom was like, well, what do you want me to cook you? And dad was like, Chinese restaurants are open. I want Chinese food. So we get Chinese takeout on Christmas Eve. And I think my dad or my mom like coined it as Chinese.
That's amazing.
And you know, you have that whole like Chinese restaurant from Christmas Story where it's like the only thing open on Christmas Day. And that's like,
that's the
pretty
truth.
Commonly well-known thing.
Yeah.
However, since then, up until a few years ago, and we still, I think my brothers still do. I just can't be home Christmas Eve.
Right.
They still get together and celebrate Chinese. So we do that on Christmas Eve.
That's awesome.
And every Christmas Eve, it started when we were kids. And typically, we always have open presents before Christmas Day.
Oh, before Christmas Day.
We have, all, for some reason, our family, and I think a lot of it is because I just got sick of like getting up early on Christmas Day. Like,
yeah,
sleep
I'm
in,
not about that.
Sleep
anymore.
In, mom always cooks a big breakfast. So, yes. Christmas morning,
yep.
My mom throws down. And she's so small, you wouldn't think she can cook like she can, but that lady throws down in the kitchen.
She knows how to feed her boys.
She does. Well, like all of us are big dudes. My mom is very small, but she, yeah. I mean, we all got to be big dudes because of Christmas Day breakfast. Yeah. So we open presents Christmas Eve typically. Like, and now what's funny is because I'm so far away, they'll literally stay up and wait for me to get there. So like,
oh, that's awesome.
When I pull in, they are all sitting there waiting to open the presents, and I walk in the door, like grab a water or whatever, sit down, and we, you know, open presents or whatever we're going to do.
That's awesome.
And then we go to bed. Christmas morning, we wake up. Mom cooks a big breakfast. She always has. You know, when we were kids, we just play with the toys that we got or, you know, whatever it was. And then we would just spend the day. A lot of times when I was a kid, we'd go to my grandma's after that. We'd go there. And then as a kid, Christmas Eve morning, we'd go to my mom's. Christmas Day, we would go to my dad's mom's. And that's how we did it. Now I go to my mom's like Christmas Eve, Christmas morning. I go to my dad's like the afternoon of Christmas Day. And then like just kind of like figure out who else we're going to be able to see that day.
Right.
But like I said, I don't get stressed out about it. Those are just like some basic traditions. Chinese is probably the most
obscure. That thing's amazing. I want to adopt that one.
It's pretty good. Just me pounding some wonton soup.
Oh, dude. I want Chinese food tonight.
You should.
Might do it.
Treat yourself. What about you?
So my dad, we'd wake up in the morning, like you said, big breakfast. Mom goes in. Dad does his famous cinnamon toast.
Oh,
dude, amazing.
The taste you can see.
The taste I can physically see and feel. We eat that. We come in. We read the Christmas story from the good book.
Yeah.
And then we open presents. But, dude, immediately after we open presents, immediately we start cooking an ungodly amount of cookies.
Really?
And we put them in bins, and then we go all through the neighborhood, all the neighbors that we know.
Just give them cookies?
And we just knock on the door, Merry Christmas, freshly hot baked cookies. We've done that since, like, I was little.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know why.
That's reminded me of some traditions we did. There were some years where we legit would do this, either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. My dad, when me and my brother were in high school, I am so thankful that he did this now, looking back. I mean, we might have done it on Thanksgiving. I remember there was a couple three or four Christmases that we did this. My dad, on Christmas morning, because we had already opened our presents, he would take us to the soup kitchen.
Yeah.
And we would cook and serve people in the soup. And I just, like, when you said that about cookies, it just reminded me. And now I look back and I think, like, I hated that. Because I thought, oh, I'm out of school, like, I don't. But my dad knew that perspective was so good for us.
Yep.
I think the same thing with the cookies. It's like, we're going to serve people. And your neighbors, you're known for that.
We're the cookie people.
These are the people that are thoughtful enough to make a bunch of cookies for us. But, yeah, we would go cook soup and, you know, food in the soup kitchen.
It's great. It is great, especially for kids.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. We would, on Christmas Eve morning, we would, is it Christmas Eve morning or Christmas Day? My brothers can remember. We would always wake up super early and go to downtown Jacksonville right by this place called Friendship Fountain.
I know where Friendship Fountain is. I have a picture in front of Friendship Fountain.
Yeah, dude.
4 or 5 years ago.
Yep. And then we'd all, there's a bunch of other churches that would come together and we would pass out these bags and they would have like hygiene kits, socks, blankets, all that. And we would just spread out all through downtown Jacksonville and give those away. But yeah, it's good to like, it's not about just receiving gifts. It's so much more about giving in that season. And hopefully
my, I don't know why.
What song is this?
I'm trying to find that. I don't know why. I just thought all the churches convening around the fountain.
That's welcome Christmas. And the Grinch rises up in the middle of the fountain.
No. Dude, that, I think.
My heart grew.
Three times in size that day when they gave me presents. No, I will say this. There's a principle to be learned by the Grinch.
Yep.
And I think I will do this with my children one day. I think when they get to like the formative teenage years, preteen years,
yeah,
I'm gonna do the same thing my dad did.
Same.
Because that perspective of maybe I didn't get everything I wanted. And typically I did. That was what was so crazy about Christmas is like I was pretty fortunate. Like yeah, I got same. Most of what I wanted every year. But like you go there and all those people want is just a meal. They want food.
Yeah. And to talk to you.
And yeah. And I remember, you know, I'm just in there like serving food and I didn't have the best attitude. But after we would leave, I remember thinking like, golly, I'm more blessed than we realize. And, you know, so it was a perspective shift of like, it's not about me.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I think that was a good tradition. I love that cookie tradition too.
I don't know why. I'll see if my parents do it again this year. Because then now that we, like me and my brother have like, we both have girls, right? And now they're like around that age, 4, 3, and 4. And I'm like, you guys see things too. This is the age to start teaching them how to be generous. And in return, like I think it taught us, I mean, my two brothers are the most generous people that I know. Like they would do and give anything to anyone. So.
My older brother's like that.
Yeah.
My older brother, he'll give anyone the shirt off his back. He's always been like that.
Yeah.
So you know another thing that we do. I'm going down a rabbit hole of traditions, and I think we still do this. Like I don't remember if we did this last year, but my cousins, they're like my age, me and my brother's age, and they're both in the Marine Corps, two of our cousins. And typically the only time they're in town is then. And when we grew up, we were all pretty much inseparable. Like we you know, would just play outside, all that. We spent Christmas Day together. And so what we did for the longest time, and we haven't been able to do it the past couple of years, we would go to the movies together.
Oh, yes. A lot of families do that. Because
the movies are open, and we would go on Christmas Day. We would always go to Denny's first that evening. We would wait till like 8 p.m. We'd go see like a 10 p.m. movie.
Yeah, that's the best.
And we'd get together as me, my brother, my cousins, Trevor and Ann, and like some of our friends sometimes would come, but we would meet at Denny's. It's like our meetup point. We'd catch up. Hey, I haven't seen you in a year. Where have you been? Oh, I've been to, you know, the United Arab Emirates and like Japan. And like they've just done all this awesome stuff. And, you know, and we would talk. And then, hey, what movie are we going to watch? We're going to go watch, you know, the 10 p.m. whatever's on. And that was just a really cool tradition because I got to catch up with it's so funny that like even though we're all adult men now, we still get together and act like
kids.
Like
yeah,
we would
for sure.
They would come over to my apartment when it was just me and a roommate, and we would just play COD for overnight. Like we'd play Call of Duty, amazing. And it was just, or we'd go to the movies. And so those are some cool traditions, especially if you like grew up with like cousins who are like really good friends to you.
Yeah, you know? Those are the best. I can't wait to see my cousins even, you know, on Christmas weekend. Just get to see all of them. We all grew up together doing very stupid things together. We just kind of reminisce on some things. Remember that one time?
Yeah. Remember that one time we rode the llama? That was, my aunt has a farm.
Of course. How is that a real
and
thing?
We would always go to my aunt's house and they had a llama that would like buck you off. And so we talked,
that's
we
amazing.
Always talked our like smallest cousin into doing everything. and we got him to like ride the llama.
Wait, is your cousin's llama?
It was so our other cousins.
Yeah.
Like, so my dad has a brother who has two sons that are our age, and he has a sister that has two daughters. And my aunt that my aunt, my dad's sister,
yeah,
they live on a farm. And so they have cows and sheep and
that's so weird. You
know, all this stuff. So we would go to her house and we would always just go like hang out with the farm animals.
You know what's crazy? This is so weird, Holden. I've never told you this. I have a cousin that had a llama growing up.
No freaking
swear.
Way.
My cousin Paul had a llama. Dude, chickens and a goat, dude. Oh, he was such a butthead, too. He was just a jerk with his dumb, long face.
Sorry, coughing fit. Yeah, dude, the llamas are, they're, a lot of people think they're funny or cute or whatever.
No, they're just mean jerks.
And we would, yeah, you just jump on that llama's back and just see how long you could hang on. That was our thing.
That's amazing.
We were so bored, we'd jump on a llama's back and, you know, he would freak out and you just, you just grab on. And he would freak out, and you would see, we'd time it and see how long we could hang on before he just absolutely tosses you in the air.
Oh, that's amazing. And
for some reason, we'd be fine.
Not and as they tall lived as
on,
a,
their farm is on the side of a mountain, and
you could have died.
Yeah, well, my brother took a bicycle the side of the mountain one time.
Can't do that.
Broke his arm.
Can't do that.
That may have been Christmas. That might have been Thanksgiving. It was one of those. And my older brother literally goes down the hill with 2 feet on one side of the peg trying to be like, not talking about a hill. We're talking about the side of a mountain. So the bike's going, 50, 60 miles an hour. And his feet are on one peg and it didn't have handbrakes. So he can't gallop that thing to a stop. And so ended up breaking his arm. The arm was like poking through
went through?
His bone like was sticking.
Oh no!
Out and nope. Yeah, so a lot of fun traditions. What's the coolest gift you got on Christmas? Like rapid fire.
Oh, Batman bike.
Oh, dude!
I had chicken pox that Christmas too.
Chicken pox suck. Yeah. Kids now don't know about chicken pox because they got the vaccine.
No, they don't.
I still have scars from chicken pox.
I do too. Horrible.
Mine was there's two Christmases, and I don't know why it was always game consoles, but. One Christmas, my uncle's always been a great gift giver, and that particular Christmas, he got us a Nintendo 64 Donkey Kong Edition, which was the see-through green.
Yeah, dude.
With the rumble packs and the extra memory card.
Yes, dude.
When I tell you, I jumped out of my skin.
Gosh, what a great console.
Yeah, so our uncle bought us that, and then we won an Xbox. Release year, it's coming out at Christmas time, the original Microsoft Xbox.
Yeah.
We wanted one so bad, and like none of our friends had them yet because it was kind of this mysterious console because it was like the competitor to PlayStation, but it had just released. And my mom told us, "I'm not getting you an Xbox for Christmas." Like she told us that. You know, your mom like tells you she's not getting you that, but it's like the reverse psychology.
Yeah. So, and then you kind of know she is going to.
We open all our presents on Christmas, and honestly, I was very happy already, like with what I'd gotten.
Yeah.
And we ate breakfast and everything. Like, had already opened our presents, ate breakfast, everything. And mom goes, "Hell yeah, I forgot to give you this one." And she pulls the box out of the closet.
She did.
Like, we had already opened presents the night before. We had ate breakfast. We thought it was over with. And
surprise gifts are always the best.
Pulls it out of it. We open it up, and I remember I saw the Xbox logo. Because Halo is out.
Yes, the best game ever.
We rip open the paper and see the big green X.
Praise him.
And when I tell you, I was on top of the couch standing, which I was like, I don't know, 9 or 10. Xbox!
You were that kid on the videos.
Battle cry. Yeah, because we thought that we weren't going to get one. And then we get one for Christmas. And my mom's sitting there with that little.
I told you, I'm the sweetest mother.
Yeah.
I don't know if your mom actually talks like that.
She doesn't at all. But yeah, I always do her voice like she's like a redneck. And she doesn't talk like that. But yeah, that was like, dude, heightened moment. We played Halo forever.
Gosh, that is the best game ever. And the System Link, you ever do that?
Yeah. Oh, dude. Halo System Link. You know, I forgot about this. Another way that my mom sold that we weren't getting an Xbox for Christmas, she bought us Nintendo 64 games for Christmas.
Oh, what a curveball.
So we thought, yeah, why would she buy us games? She bought us games. And so then we think, oh, for sure we're not getting one. And I was the first kid, me and my brother were, like in our friend group and at school that had an Xbox.
You were that kid.
We were, and dude, I remember being like,
you know, Holden, he's got an Xbox.
I remember being the first one, and I just thought like, oh, yeah, I'm the coolest.
Yep.
I'm the coolest.
I've reached
thing.
The pinnacle of my popularity.
Harry, I've reached the top. So, yeah, there's that. What's your thoughts as we're closing up shop? What are your thoughts on gift giving? I know we know our stances on gift giving to kids because it's just the best. Like, we've witnessed how it felt to us. Like, it's a big deal for kids, and I will always, like, the kids in my family, my youngest brother, he'll be 15 in January. I'm gonna give him a cool gift.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on gift giving when it's not a child? Because I feel like I have a strong opinion with this.
I'm at the point now. Now I'm just like, hey man, get what do you want? Just tell me what you want, and we can kind of spend extra on each other or get what you want.
Yeah. How about the gift I give you is you keep your money and I keep mine.
Yeah.
You're an adult. Yeah, okay.
Buy what you want.
And it's free permission. It sounds mean, but I think that if you're an adult in my family, at least, like if you're an adult in my family and you have a job and you provide for yourself,
yep.
Why do I need to buy you something? Because
right.
I'm pretty fortunate to where, like, if I really, really want, if I need something, I'm able to buy it. And I feel like because of that, I'm very fortunate. Yeah. I even buy a lot of crap that I want that I don't even need.
Right. I've already bought everything that I want
already. I don't need a Harley, but I have one. Like, I don't need that.
Right.
But I wanted it, and I, you know, so it's, that's kind of like the, like, perspective that I have. So every year, like, we draw names, and I just hope.
Name thing. Yeah.
I hope that I get my youngest brother because I always tell my like adult family members, hey, why are we buying? We don't have to buy for each other.
And then there's a couple of family members.
And I think that they think that I don't like giving gifts. I would rather us just spend time together. Like, we don't have to get each other.
100%.
And because if you need it, go get it. Like, and if you really need it and you're unable to get it, yeah, absolutely. Tell me what you need.
Yep.
But
that's like, different than like a Christmas present, though.
You're fine. You're okay. Yeah,
you'll be okay.
And like, especially if you're at like the same socioeconomic status that I am, it's like,
yeah.
You're fine. If I'm fine and I know that you're on the same status that I am, you're fine as well.
Yep.
Let's buy for the kids. I honestly think next year I'm going, if you're my family and you're listening to this, don't let it be a curveball to you. Next year, I'm hoping that we just do like our family just adopt some Angel Tree kids.
That's it. Yeah, dude, that's a great idea.
If you've ever done that, it's the best. You never get to see the kid. All you get to see is if you know what an Angel Tree is, a Salvation Army thing, you can buy for an underprivileged child that would otherwise probably not get a Christmas.
Right.
And so you get a little card and it says 8 years old. This is this person's name. And this is what they want for Christmas. And boy, me and Brittany go all out. You know, it's like, and we were bummed this year because we couldn't do it because so many people took the...
They were gone.
They were gone quick.
Which is a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have. But typically, every year up until this year, because we couldn't, there was no more names.
Yeah.
And we probably could have like searched and found, but like just what we had available to us, we would do that. Typically, we would grab like two or three names, and I don't say that to my own horn. I just like we did it 1 year, and I was like, "Yeah, fine." And then I just remember like being.
But I'd rather give gifts towards something like that.
Joy filled. It just brings me more joy, and the thought of like that child getting to open up something on Christmas Day, like that might not have had something. It just, bro. When people talk about treasures in heaven, I don't like, I'm not looking for that because I already get it. Like when you're rapping or you're wheeling in that bicycle
And dude,
you're just like, I deserve nothing in heaven for this. I'm getting it all right now. I'm so happy. Yeah. And I don't say that to say if you don't do that, that you're, you know, you suck or anything like that. I'm just saying like, it'd be good if you're an adult buying for adults for y'all to all go in and buy something for somebody who doesn't have.
Yep. Give a little bit. That's all we're asking.
Give a little bit.
Speaking of giving a little bit,
we have a giveaway.
Yeah,
this is our Christmas giveaway, and I'm really stoked about this one. It means a whole lot to me.
It really does.
I got to clear my throat because I'm still sick. Can I drink some water real quick?
Sure, go for it.
So, we have a friend, and our friend is also our tattoo artist.
Yes, he is.
And his name is Pork Chop Rayfield. And his wife, Becky Rayfield. They're dear friends of mine. They're
absolute
dear friends of Josh's.
Legends.
Legends. And just all around good people. We love them a lot.
Yep.
And Pork Chop and Becky own two tattoo studios, one here in Myrtle Beach and one in Florence, South Carolina.
Yep.
And they're called Pork Chop's Tattoo Studio. Two locations to fit your needs. Wherever you live, I would recommend you visit. And the thing about a good tattoo artist like Pork Chop is, don't be bummed out when you call to book an appointment and he can't get to you within a week. Typically, I'm not knocking tattoo artists. If they can get to you within a few days, they're probably new or they haven't been booked out.
That's true, too.
Pork Chop is booked out pretty far.
Couple months, but
it gives you time to think about what you really want. And because he's going to do custom work, like that's give him an idea of what you want and let him draw that up.
Oh, he's the absolute best, man.
It's better than what you're going to draw up yourself or what you're going to pull off Google. Give him an idea.
your goofy Pinterest tattoo.
Yeah, give him the
Knock
idea of what you want. Knock it off. Quit going in there and micromanaging your tattoo artist.
Oh, it's the worst.
Trust them. Yep. If they're good, they're going to have a better vision for your tattoo than you do.
Every time.
And
if
so,
if they're good though,
yeah.
And Pork Chop is the best.
He's the best. So he's probably the only person I trust to tattoo me. And I think it's because I build a relationship with him.
Yeah.
And my first tattoo was crap. He's covering it up right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's a half sleeve. So he's working on my full sleeve. He's done quite a few tattoos for Josh.
Yeah.
We say all that to say we love his tattoo shop. I would call them a book, but because they're dear friends of us, they have offered to do a giveaway. Josh, tell them about what they're going to be getting.
You have the potential to get a $50 gift certificate to Pork Chop's Tattoo Studio.
Yeah, and $50 can go a long way towards a tattoo.
Yeah, it can.
Especially considering you're going to tell him that you got this certificate from the Talk Boys.
That's
He's a listener to our podcast. And a supporter. Thank you, Pork Chop.
We love you.
And we love you a whole lot. Becky, we love you a whole lot. We're giving you a $50 gift certificate to that tattoo studio.
Yep.
You can, if you live far away, make yourself a trip to Myrtle Beach.
Come on down to the Dirty Myrtle.
Come on down and see us. You can stay in one of our spare rooms.
Yes, you could. That's true.
If we don't know you, maybe we'll have to, you know, background check you first.
Yep.
But yeah, so we're going to give this away on Instagram. Within the next week, because this is our Christmas giveaway.
Yep.
Because it's Christmas, it's going to be a season of giveaways.
That's it.
We're doing the t-shirt giveaway.
Yep.
We're doing the knife and the Vortex Optics giveaway.
Yep.
And we're doing the Pork Chops gift certificate giveaway all in 1 week. So this episode is going to drop Monday the 20th.
Yep.
Monday, December 20th. After this drop, you're going to see a lot of giveaways on Instagram. Keep following us, and you're going to get some cool stuff. Also, what came in this week, Josh?
Oh, dude, the best Talk Boys podcast stickers that you've ever seen.
These are not cheap stickers. They're quality die cut.
Yep.
They're the kind that don't fade in the sun.
They're the good ones.
They're the good ones. So, if you want one of those, if you want a free sticker, you have to come find Josh De La Cruz or myself in person, or send us a DM on Instagram.
Yep, and we'll put a couple aside for you.
We will put a couple aside for you, and we'll make sure you get one. And we talked about this in our last episode, but the stickers are finally here. And we're excited about that. Maybe your $50 tattoo certificate can go towards getting the Talk Boys logo tattooed on.
That's it. That's what you do.
It's the one to get. So we love you. We hope that you have a Merry Christmas. Our next episode won't air until after Christmas. So I'm glad that this one is airing the week of Christmas. And so we hope that you have a good time with family. We hope that some of the things that we've talked about have been thought-provoking into how you approach Christmas. This is a 90-minute episode, hour and a half of Christmas listening. Maybe listen to this on your way to visit your family.
Put you in the Christmas mood.
Put you in that spirit.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
And a happy, happy Christmas.